The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I guess that most of us, at some point in our lives, have been insulted. But poor old Peter must have been stunned when Jesus called him Satan in front of his closest friends. Verse 23 of our reading this morning, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." What on earth is going on? Why is Jesus being so harsh when speaking to Peter? What had Peter done or said to deserve such hurtful words of rebuke? Well, we learn from the previous verse, verse 22, that Peter had taken Jesus aside and had begun to rebuke him. Rebuke Jesus? For what? Let's go back to the beginning of this morning's scripture passage, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. On hearing this, Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." It is quite often the case that the gospel writers tell us that the disciples didn't understand, or were slow to learn, or misunderstood what Jesus had been saying. But Jesus has not just told a story or a parable that could have several levels of interpretation. This was an explanation using direct wording that could not be misunderstood or reinterpreted to mean something else. Jesus made it crystal clear that he would suffer, be killed, and rise again after 3 days. Note too that he said these things must happen, not might happen. So if Peter knew exactly what was meant by Jesus' teaching, why did he presume to take him aside and start contradicting him? Why did he feel qualified to argue an alternative strategy, presumably that Jesus should be the expected Messiah who would throw out the Roman aggressors and restore Israel to its former glory? What gave Peter the idea that Jesus was wrong and that he, Peter, had the correct answer? Whenever we are looking for an answer to a question that arises from our reading of Scripture, it is almost always a good idea to look around at the context in which we find the particular troublesome passage. And in this case, we don't have to look very far. In the immediately preceding section of the same chapter, verses 13 to 20, we have the account of Peter's realization and confession that Jesus is the Christ. And if you heard Mike Bennett's excellent sermon last week, this incident and its profound importance will still be fresh in your mind. Obviously, I am not going to repeat Mike's sermon. But may I just remind you of Jesus' reply to Peter's bold confession. "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Bearing in mind that Peter was a very ordinary fisherman, it is hardly surprising that this amazing statement by Jesus may have gone to his head, as we say. I think we can readily forgive Peter for getting a bit big for his boots. Just think for a moment about what Jesus has told Peter. He is blessed, and he has had a revelation direct from God the Father. I'm not sure what Peter understood about the church being built or having the keys to the kingdom or affecting events in heaven by what he did on earth, but it all sounded wonderful and no doubt made him feel very proud and very important. However, I am sure that Peter would have been happy to focus on the first two parts of Jesus' pronouncement, that he was blessed and had received a revelation from the Father. So Peter is feeling great, and Jesus has confirmed that his belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is correct. And it is in this confident frame of mind that he questions Jesus' plain teaching, takes him aside, and starts to rebuke him. What a shock when Jesus turns on him and shouts at him in front of everyone, "Get behind me, Satan!" And let's remind ourselves why Jesus compared Peter to Satan. It was because, "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Of course, with the benefit of hindsight, it is easy for us to see why Peter got it wrong. Yes, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, was revealed to Peter by God. But Peter wrongly extended this to suppose that God had confirmed his ideas about the Messiah. His own concept of what the promised Christ would do blinded him to Jesus' clear and plain teaching to the contrary. So ingrained in Peter's mind was his belief that his ideas were right, that he confidently took Jesus to one side and started lecturing him, thus refusing to accept the teaching from Jesus that he had just heard. Jesus recognized immediately that this had to be nipped in the bud. This matter was far too important for him to pussyfoot around with soft and gracious words of persuasion. No, this required firm and direct correction, and Jesus didn't mince his words. So Peter was stunned into silence, and I expect that he felt very crestfallen and hurt, not to mention the embarrassment in front of his friends. What next? Jesus moves the situation along. He addresses not just Peter, but all his disciples, and makes a pronouncement that they and we might find hard. Not hard to understand, but hard to accept. Verse 24, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Of course, it is easy to understand that Jesus is talking about priority, but it is far from easy to take on board this uncompromising teaching. Our natural instinct is to try to soften it by making room for our own ideas. But as Peter found out, to his shock and embarrassment, Jesus means what he says. Following Jesus is not a part-time optional extra tacked onto our self-regulated lives. It is to be our first priority. Jesus was fully committed to his Father's will. He knew he must suffer, be rejected and killed, even though he knew he would be raised again. And he tells the disciples that it is that kind of commitment he is talking about. Verse 26, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" We might easily give mental assent to this teaching. But as we know very well, these things are always easier said than done. In fact, we know that we have no hope of living up to this standard without the help and motivation of God's Holy Spirit working in us. Our primary task, therefore, is to seek the Holy Spirit's presence, guidance, motivation, and inspiration in our lives. And in verse 27, Jesus continues his challenging teaching. "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." I'm not sure that the disciples understood this at the time, but with the benefit of our knowledge of subsequent events, including the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can see it clearly as a reference to Jesus' second coming, when all authority and judgment will be his. Oh dear. Do these statements of Jesus make us feel downhearted? Do we squirm a little and remember all the times that we have failed to speak up? Do we fear that Jesus will be ashamed of our somewhat haphazard and inconsistent efforts as disciples of his. Is Jesus going to shout at us, "Get behind me, Satan," as he did to Peter? Let me assure you that if you have put your trust in Jesus as your Saviour, he is not going to reject you, just as he did not reject Peter. I talked earlier about looking at context in the scriptures. We looked back to see that there was an explanation for Peter's mistake and consequent telling off. But now let's look forward to see what happened next after this incident and the hard teaching of Jesus that we have just considered. We read at the beginning of the next chapter, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. It is not part of our subject for today, but I'm sure you will be aware of the transfiguration account. The point for us today is that Jesus did not give up on Peter because he had to rebuke him harshly. On the contrary, he included Peter in a select band of only 3 disciples who were privileged to witness Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus didn't reject Peter because he got it wrong, but he led him to higher heights of insight and understanding. Which takes me back to the very beginning of our Bible reading this morning, Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain. This was not the end, but the beginning. May the Lord help us all to move forward on our journey of faith. Amen.